Good morning and welcome to Talk of the Town, powered by Licking County Transit. You're listening to Dave Doney, Joel Riley, right here on Buckeye Country 94.3. Our special guest today is Christy Hawthorne, Executive Director of Licking County Soil and Water Conservation District. As a reminder, a winter weather advisory remains in effect until 11 this morning. Mostly cloudy skies, scattered snow showers, high right around 33, cloudy tonight. And then a mix of sun and clouds for your Tuesday with a high near 37. All right, Christy, you just drove in and I was joking with you. They weren't that bad, were they?
No, not until I got to your parking lot.
Down the hall is not going to be happy with that. I want to thank you for getting me, throw me under the bus on that thing.
Didn't someone have a fall out there in the last couple weeks or something?
In our parking lot?
Yeah.
I almost took a header out there to look at
it.
Why don't you just keep getting me in trouble? Why don't you?
Workman's comp.
But you came in from Coshocton, they were under level one, and you said it wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't bad at all.
Yeah, you see one snowflake and people get a little crazy, and next thing you know, you're dealing with cars off the road and all that kind of stuff.
Right, right.
What do I know? What does this do for you guys at Licking County Soil and Water Conservation District? You just look outside and go, well, we're not going to do much today.
Well, it's precipitation. It's just not rain that would like come down really hard and wash pollutants into the waterways and so forth. So, and it's beautiful. It covers up the brown out there. Gives the trees some spark.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we had all that last week. We had the melt and some rain and that. Do you worry about, is that something that you're constantly thinking about? Okay, the snow melt's got to go somewhere. Where it goes and what's in it, we don't know. Is that a big concern when you see snow like that?
It is, because snow and rain both collect air pollution and then comes down. But when we have frozen ground and then it gets warm enough and it rains, it doesn't saturate into the ground. So we see more runoff and flooding possibilities. Mm-hmm.
How'd you get involved in all this? I meant to ask you all this all the time. I keep forgetting because we get into so many different things. But, you don't wake up one day, do you, and just go, hey, I want to get involved with what's going on with the conservation of this planet? How'd you get involved?
Well, there's a lot of people who do have that as a dream, and we work with a lot of the youth and interns and AmeriCorps members that this is what they want to do for their career. I actually stumbled into it. Jim Kirchhoff is the former administrator. He hired me twice. I started once in 2005, was there for a couple years, and then went to the state level organization, then came back in 2013. And he hired me again and worked my way up.
I always knew Jim was a little crazy.
So I started out as the administrative assistant, worked my way up through administration, and became the director in 2020. My background is actually in business management and business leadership, but I have that passion. And maybe I would have taken a different education route mm-hmm. to get here, but it's been all hands-on, and I've got great people working for me that are experts in the field, and surround myself with great people.
Well, you see, Christy, just about everywhere. I know when we did the river roundup at the Velvet, you were there bopping around. We see you at the Rolling Thunder Toy Run because you care about that. We saw you a lot when there was a Delco water plan to move in the north part of the county. I guess that has since been rescinded. We saw that on Facebook maybe a week ago or within the last week, where they decided there wasn't quite enough water flow for what they wanted to do.
Yeah, it wasn't meeting their expectations, so they declined on the option to purchase that land and develop that.
Keep your eyes open. You see Christy everywhere.
So what do you do in a situation like that? Is it just you're in there to just provide facts for folks so they can make their decisions? How closely do you work? And again, you could pick any company, but like Delco, when you find out they're coming in, what happens there? Do you start working with them? How does all that work?
Well, we've got a lot of resources and working partnerships. So yeah, when we heard Delco was coming in, we did reach out and have a conversation with them. Partnered with the Farm Bureau to hold a landowners meeting about what it meant. So we're just there as part of the conversation and providing resources for landowners. Our mantra is that we are not anti-development. We are pro proper development. There's specific guidelines and permits for the various development that's going on across the county, and we just want to make sure that the natural resources are taken care of and things are built right.
Mm-hmm. Got a lot of building going around over here.
Yeah, we do.
You gave us a startling statistic, and I wasn't even close, but how much farmland has been developed over the past number of years. It is amazing once folks hear this number because, again, you asked me, I take a guess, and Joel was joking. I wasn't even half to what it is. How big a problem is it? I shouldn't say a problem, but how much are we losing?
So the auditor's office manages the current agricultural use valuation, or CAUV, which is a tax deduction for farmland. And their calculations show that in the last 4.5 years, we've lost 19,000 acres of farmland.
That's just in the county?
Just in Licking County.
Yeah.
And what is and again, I know, and this part I did get right, the vast majority of that is out in western Licking County. Does that keep you awake at night when you start to think about that amount of farmland being lost in one county?
It does. Yeah. I mean, it's very concerning because we've been known as a rural and agricultural community, and the land use changes that are coming, we want to make sure that we can balance agriculture with the development. So that's going to be part of our conversation as we move forward.
And Christy, remind me, you can designate land as historic, not historical land, but pass it down from family so that it doesn't get sold, correct? Is there not, do you guys do anything with that, or do you help facilitate that?
So there's an agricultural easement program that is managed through Ohio Department of Agriculture. We are the local sponsor here in the county. Our applications, landowners have applications that they file with us. It's a competitive scoring process. And then ODA can offer up to $2,000 an acre for this agriculture easement for it to be agriculture in perpetuity. We've got about 32 farms right now for about 5,000 acres in the program, and we just had 5 new applications come through this last January that we're processing for scoring.
It's kind of hard because you're almost balancing way of life versus money. I mean, you know, money talks. Everybody knows that. And I mean, these huge data farms, I mean, they're throwing around big money. And that's why a lot of people, you know, took it. And that's why, you know, property values in Johnstown went up 20% overnight when they announced that big deal with Intel on that. But, you know, there's kind of a way of life that seems to be maybe kind of pushing back a little bit right now. It's like, hey, wait a minute. I know money talks, but I got some heritage and some family memories here that I maybe want to hang on to.
Correct. Yeah. And our program is more for the farmland, and it has to be a minimum of 40 acres. And there's certain guidelines for the state process. The Licking Land Trust also has an easement, an easement program that is a little bit more flexible to where if it's just a woodlot or less than 40 acres, open space, green space, and they have more say over what the easement will be. I'm on their board, and we recently had a farm up around Croton that is a horse farm, and they wanted nothing but horses on that farm. And they were able to write that into your easement.
Very cool.
So a couple great programs, and we're very lucky to have both of them to be able to save some open space and agricultural land.
Another great thing that maybe folks don't know that happens over there is the work you do with local students. And I mean, you guys have got a lot going on when it comes to local students. Maybe talk a little bit about that and how much you enjoy that aspect where you're not having to worry about somebody coming in and taking somebody's, you know, farm or something like that. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, you had asked me about how I got involved and how we're working with a lot of the youth. And it's a matter of sparking that interest, you know, taking them to a stream with a net and catching the crawdads and the macroinvertebrates that are living in there and talking about the ecosystems and how this is what fish eat and, you know, how it's so important to have all the parts of an ecosystem working properly. Right now, we're talking trees a lot with our students. We've got our tree sale going on, but we also have a program for teachers and educational leaders, I guess you could call them, for free trees for students. So teachers can order either an individual tree for each one of their students in their classroom, or they can get a small grouping of trees to plant on the on the school grounds. We're actually working with Watkins this year for a test run of a pocket forest. It's about the size of maybe two parking spots, and we're going to plant it densely with trees, put fencing around it and everything, and create this little pocket forest for them to be able to observe the pollinators and the wildlife that it brings to their school. So, but the free trees for students, you can order those trees online. It would be good for any elementary or middle school teachers, homeschool students, 4-H clubs, scouts. Mm-hmm. All of those clubs are welcome to order trees from us. They get the tree, the packaging for to put them in individual bags, as well as a tree planting guide and some curriculum ideas, some fun activities for the kids to learn about trees.
I will say this, and when we moved down here, well, God, it's going to be 18 years. 18 years? I don't remember. A long time ago. One of the very first things we did, we went to Arbor Day out at the Dawes Arboretum.
Yeah.
And we got two little tree seedlings and planted them. And now he's been in my backyard. Those two trees that are back, those silver maples are growing. And it's just like, it's amazing. So, again, it takes a while, I understand. But right. I'm really curious on this thing with Watkins Memorial. This is the first time you guys have done this, and kids will get a chance to see this.
Yeah, we're partnering with Pollinator Pathways. They recently put a pocket forest in at Granville Intermediate. Mm-hmm. And so we're replicating that through our sponsorship with Amazon that are sponsoring all of our free trees for students. So there's no charge for any of it. And it's just something new that we're trying out. And we'll keep you posted on how it turns out.
Oh, I don't live too far from there, so I'll be driving by there. You need to water something over there, kid. What are you doing over there?
Well, that pollinator thing, I mean, that's, you know, we've been over to, I can't remember exactly where they have it, but the Master Gardeners, big on pollination, you know, all the flowers, all the plants, you know, milkweed and all that kind of stuff. I think that's a great idea. And I mean, that when you talk about educational opportunities, you know, it really expands people's brains. It's like they don't really understand how that goes. I mean, in China, I think I read not too long ago, they have people that hand pollinate because they have done so much damage to the ecosystem there. They don't have those pollinators naturally occurring. So people actually get paid to go out and, you know, do what butterflies and bees do here. So super crucial, super important.
Yeah, native trees, native plants, they're all very important in the food production. You know, you think pollinators and you immediately think honeybees and honey, but it takes pollinators to pollinate our fruit trees, our vegetable gardens. They play a very important role in our food cycle.
And you just mentioned fruit trees real quick, running the story actually today, the spotted lanternfly now quarantined across the state. How pervasive is it here in our community? I mean, are you seeing it across Licking County?
I'm not seeing it in Licking County as much as I am in like Franklin County. I was in the brewery district at Morpsey and a spotted lantern fly landed on my jacket. I knocked it off and smashed it, as you should.
Yes.
For these types of bugs.
Yes.
So we're seeing some along the western side of the county, and then Muskingum County also is quarantined, so we're seeing a little bit on the eastern side. But for the most part, Licking County has been I don't want to say safe, but not infested.
And you said it's really harmful for, well, I shouldn't say harmful, but they're attracted to the fruit trees, correct?
They are attracted to fruit trees, as well as the tree of heaven, which is a invasive tree. So it's almost a catch-22 that they're feeding on and killing the tree of heaven, which is invasive, but also in the orchards and fruit trees where we don't want them.
So, yeah, again, it's a little bit of a like you said, catch 22. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Talk of the Town, brought to you by Licking County Transit with fixed routes and on-demand response service. They've got your transportation needs covered. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more Talk of the Town on Buckeye Country 107.7 Newark Heath. Hey there, folks. Dave Doney here.
And Joel Riley.
We're your hosts for Talk of the Town, your go-to podcast for everything happening in our local community.
That's right, Dave. We dish out the latest on events, interview local leaders, and we sprinkle in a little fun.
More than a little fun. So whether you're a longtime resident or just passing through, join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for a good time and the inside scoop on all things local.
Yeah, don't miss out. Hit that subscribe button now and never miss an episode on your favorite podcast platform.
Or visit our website at WNKO.com to stay in the loop. And if there's a guest, event, or topic you think we should be talking about, send us an email to news@WNKO.com.
I love it. Tune in and be a part of the conversation.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7 Newark Heath. Brought to you today by Licking County Transit. Joined today by Christy Hawthorne. She is the Executive Director of Licking County Soil and Water Conservation District. As a reminder, winter weather advisory in effect for about another 90 minutes. Cloudy skies and snow showers today, high near 33. Cloudy tonight, and then for Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 37. Christy, we were talking about all the different things earlier about that you do with youth, but there's so many other things. Camp Canopy is something that you guys are doing, and I've never heard of this before, but it sounds like a wonderful program to help kids get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Camp Canopy is a camp for high schoolers. It's for freshmen through graduating seniors. It's held in June at the Ohio FFA camp in Camp Muskingum in Carrollton. But it's a week-long camp for these high schoolers to be immersed in everything trees. Tree IDs, chainsaw, safety, just everything trees. So we have an application for a scholarship. If there's a couple kids out there who would like to go, the registration is $500. We will cover that for two high schoolers to attend. In the past, we've had as many as three go, thanks to Granville Kiwanis sponsoring a Granville student. But it's just a great way for the kids to be immersed in, be with tree professionals with the Division of Forestry and the Forestry Association. So it's a great program. Another opportunity.
How do the kids, parents get involved? Is this simply going online and looking for the app? What do they need to do?
Yeah, it's the application is on our website under our education tab, and that's at Licking, SWCD for Soil Water Conservation District.com.
And do you have a date as to when it all has to be, you know, you have to register and all that? I mean, is there a cutoff for folks?
The cutoff for the application for Camp Canopy is May 5th.
Gotcha. Now, that's not the only thing you guys do. You have the River Roundup contest. We promote that and help, you know, kids want to, you know, artwork and that. How's that going and when does that run till?
River Roundup poster contest is something that we do to get the kids involved in the process, and we use their artwork as the marketing material, but the kids get to earn $100, and the school that they attend wins $500 if they are the winners of this contest. There's three categories: elementary, middle school, and high school. And the poster contest submissions are due on Earth Day this year, the end of April.
Yeah, so they're not going to take our stick people, is what she's telling us, if we were young again. Yeah. That's what I would have with these stick
Well,
people.
Again, the age qualification probably bounces us out.
Maybe they've got one for senior citizens. Let us get involved in that.
I'll have to take
get
that back to
Melissa Owens over at Lincoln County Aging Partners and see what they're doing.
Yeah. You know, we also have adult education.
Okay.
And we have a forestry field day coming up because, you know, right during this time frame with our tree sale is everything trees. So we have this forestry field day scheduled for March 12th. It's from 5:30 to 8 p.m. in the evening. And it's going to be at Fackler's Farm on Montgomery Road out by Marne. We're going to have Division of Forestry experts, Vincenteed with the CAUV program about how woodlots are considered agriculture and can get that discount. We'll be talking about invasive tree or invasive species, both plants, trees, and bugs. So it'll be a great evening. We'll be actually walking through the woods, weather dependent, mm-hmm. of course, but we're serving a light dinner and ask for RSVPs so we can plan properly. Mm-hmm. And again, you can find that at our website, lickingswcd.com.
And you were talking about some sprayers that you have, backpack sprayers. This is interesting to me.
Yeah. So woodlot management is, woods do take some management. And like these invasive species, whether they're shrubs or the tree of heaven, grapevines and so forth. And the best manner of getting rid of those is to spray. Knowing that we have a lot of landowners that may have 5 to 10 acres that just need to do a little bit of management, then we can offer, we have these backpack sprayers that you can just borrow from us. We've got a short form to fill out. We ask for a deposit that gets returned when the backpack gets returned, but it's just another tool in our toolbox to help our landowners manage those woodlands. Mm.
When you talk about invasive, we talked a little bit about the spotted lanternfly. What are some of the other invasive species that you worry about that come? I mean, we all heard about, I can't think off the top of my head and now with
the ash borer.
Hey, thank you. That was it right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all heard about that, but do we still worry about those? I mean, what are some of the other ones that are people need to be worried about, especially since we're coming into the spring season?
I think the most manageable side of invasive species are the shrubs and the trees. So you've got multiflora rose and honeysuckle that gets into so big and just becomes a thicket that it doesn't allow the regrowth. So you have your tall stands of oaks and maples and so forth. But when their seeds drop, the acorns and so forth, it doesn't hit the ground and it doesn't rejuvenate. So that's a big concern about our woodland health. But we've also got some urban trees that we're concerned about. I think it was last year, we did the Bradford pear.
Yep.
Removal wanted program where we provided a free tree if you cut down a Bradford tree. We did that at the Agricultural Service Center with Commissioner Tim Bubb because those are invasive trees. They recently became was put on the list from Ohio Department of Agriculture as an invasive tree. But if you look across like a Walmart parking lot or big box store parking lot and they have these trees that bloom in the spring, they're beautiful white trees.
Yeah.
But then if you look off in the background in a wooded or a grassy area, they infiltrate so bad. And they, again, fight for the natural resources of the space, the soil, the water from those native plants and trees and completely make it a unit or a monoculture to where it doesn't provide the diversity and they don't provide the needed resources for our pollinators and wildlife.
Mm. It's amazing when you think about some of this stuff because, I mean, yeah, I'm a city boy. If you had a couple oaks in our front yard and that was about it, you just didn't, tree was there. You mm-hmm. didn't worry about some of these different things that we're seeing. Can you have folks, do you have folks on staff that will come out and help people deal with these? If I said to you, look, I've got this, I don't know how I'm going to get rid of this, what do I need to do? What can you folks do to help with that?
We do a lot of the education and outreach, but we leave the specific plans to our professional partners mm-hmm. through the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, Division of Forestry. We have a service forester that is dedicated to Licking County. Mm. So we have his contact information in the office. He can help with woodland management plans and timber harvesting plans. This is the time of year where there is a lot, it's a good time to harvest trees because they're not in full bloom. It's easy to get in and out of the woods. But there's a lot of things to consider when doing a timber harvest on whether it's going to be a select cut of specific trees of black walnut or oaks or pine, so forth, that you might have on your property. But there's guidelines that should be followed and please don't just call the number on the sign on the side of the road saying that we're buying walnut trees, because you want to make sure that they're certified, there's master loggers, there's timber harvest plans that can be written. You want to make sure that it's done right, both for the health of the forest, but also for aesthetics of your land.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're getting into, spring season. Folks are going to want to start doing soil testing, water testing. You folks handle that, correct?
So the soil testing is actually handled through OSU Extension, okay, which is in our office mm-hmm. building. We can help you go through the results. And that it's important to know what type of soils mm-hmm. you have when you're selecting the trees, like from our tree mm-hmm. sale, which we note what kind of soils they thrive in, how big they get, how fast they grow. Water testing, we do have a stream team, volunteer water quality monitors, that we've got an open house coming up on April 1st to learn more about that. If you want to adopt a stream and gather data for us, that's awesome too. Mm-hmm. Potable water, like water wells and things like that, is all handled through the health department.
I highly recommend all of that stuff. When my wife and I moved out, we had the extension agent come out. We did soil samples because we wanted to have pasture for animals, and super instrumental in making sure we got good grass growing and we didn't have to rely on, you know, buying so much hay and all that stuff. Super efficient, super informational, and really easy to work with. So yep. Thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tree sale you got going on. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
First off, what's the most popular? I mean, when you guys are getting ready for this, what is the one you're going, we better have a lot of these seedlings because we're going to need them?
White pine is always very popular for large plantings, for big open areas. And our, I call them our pretty trees. The smaller ones that you might plant in town, our red bud usually sells out. That's the one that blooms first alongside the roads, mm-hmm. the pink flowers. And it, just a fun fact, those are edible. Those little pink flowers on red buds are edible.
Never been that hungry.
All right, now, we were joking earlier, and I hate to do this, but she's got some tree jokes. And I said, go ahead, because Riley will love these.
Love.
So,
yeah. Love.
Fire away.
Get ready.
Fire
right.
away.
So, why do trees hate tests?
Why do trees hate tests?
Not enough paper.
Kind of like you right now, because they get stumped by the questions.
Stumped.
See, this is right up his eye.
Yes.
Go ahead. I'll give you a couple more.
How can you tell that a tree is a dogwood tree?
Something about the bark. Bark is worse than its bite.
By its bark. Yeah.
There you go.
That wasn't very hard.
There you go.
Got to get him, try to stump him one more time.
Why did the pine tree get in trouble?
Don't know.
Because it was being naughty.
Ladies and gentlemen, that'll be the last you hear of Christy Hawthorne.
Open mic night continues after this.
All right, real quick, if folks want information about the tree sale, anything you got going on, the forestry field day, what do they need to do?
Yeah, visit our website or our social media pages. Our website is lickingswcd.com. You can sign up for our newsletter and get updates of all the things that we do throughout the year. Our tree sale deadline for orders is March 20th, so please get those in early. And our pickup day is going to be April 10th.
You guys do that right out at the office.
At our office, yeah. In the barn next to our office.
Very
yep.
nice.
Okay. Well, again, that'll be the last you hear of Christy Hawthorne because of those jokes. No, that's great. I knew he'd eat that up. I knew he would enjoy it. Christy,
yes.
As always, I appreciate you coming in. It's always fun. I like to do this a couple times of the year so folks know what you're doing out there. So thank you so much for that. Hey, be sure to join us on Wednesday's Talk of the Town. Our guest will be Doug Moran with the High Z Wind Ensemble. That's Wednesday's Talk of the Town, powered by Licking County Transit. Doug will be here talking about all that is going on with the High Z Wind Ensemble. And again, that's on Wednesday's Talk of the Town, brought to you by Licking County Transit.